Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We've been spending some time in Oakland, California this week, and let's go back there now. A public statement from Mayor Libby Schaaf touched off a major confrontation with federal immigration officials on Saturday.
Yesterday, I learned information from multiple sources that there is potentially an ICE activity planned in the Bay Area that could be starting as soon as today. My priority is to keep this community safe.
Mayor Schaaf was right. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents arrested more than 150 people in sweeps throughout Northern and Central California. The arrests led to protests in San Francisco. Meanwhile, ICE officials have been lashing out at Mayor Schaaf for tipping off who they say are hundreds of criminal undocumented immigrants. Tyke Hendricks is immigration and criminal justice editor for KQED in San Francisco. And I asked Tyke about the sweeps and the reaction to the mayor's warning.
Her actions drew a swift and angry reaction from the acting director of ICE, Thomas Homan. We can hear him right here on Fox News talking about it.
What she did is no better than a gang lookout yelling police. I mean, it's beyond the pale. I've been doing this for 34 years, and this is a whole new low to intentionally warn criminals that law enforcement's coming.
Did ICE see this coming?
I think Mayor Schaaf took it to a new level with this announcement that she made. And there's been this really tense back and forth over the last number of days where she's saying, look, I represent these immigrant communities and we don't want fear in our communities. A lot of these people are otherwise law-abiding people. And Homan's really emphasizing the folks who have criminal histories, who are part of the people who are being picked up. But here's a response from Schaaf as far as why she feels justified in what she did.
My warning was general in nature. It did not come through official channels. It did not have specific locations. So it certainly was not the type of warning that may have put anyone in extra danger.
And so the mayor of Oakland sounded the alarm about these ICE raids coming to the area. What has that enforcement actually looked like?
ICE said that about half the people they picked up in Northern California this week have criminal convictions in addition to their immigration violations. And that means that the other half do not. We've had sanctuary cities in a lot of parts of the Bay Area. And just in the last year or so, California made itself a sanctuary state. And what that means is not that ICE can't operate in these places, but that the law enforcement locally will limit cooperation with ICE. Not in every case. There are a lot of exceptions for people who have serious criminal histories. But this has led to a situation where sheriff's deputies and jails are not allowing ICE in to screen, who's been arrested. And so the response from ICE Director Homan is to say, if you won't let us take custody of people in the jails, then we have no choice but to make more arrests out in the community.
This confrontation isn't new, but it seems like over the last week, certainly the rhetoric has ramped up, even as the head of ICE gets on Fox News to attack the mayor of Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, the gloves are off. And I think this has been the case. You know, it's not just Mayor Schaaf. California is a state where, more than one in four people was born in another country. That means there are a lot of people who are the children of immigrants. It means that even the 2 million or so unauthorized immigrants are, in our schools, in our workplaces. So it's sort of hard to say like there's something other over there. And the state legislature has, as I said, made this a sanctuary state. And there are other things like allowing undocumented people to get driver's licenses or to get in-state tuition and financial aid for college. But as you say, it is definitely coming to a head. It's hard to know quite where that's going to go.
Tyke Hendricks, immigration and criminal justice editor for KQED in San Francisco. Tyke, great to have you.
Thank you so much.
Some ICE detention proceedings begin with dramatic raids at places like farms or restaurants, but others begin a lot more quietly when immigrants least expect they might get picked up. Michael Pukri is 21 years old. He lives in New Jersey, and he's a DACA recipient from Albania. His father and mother were taken into ICE custody when they thought they were going in for a green card.
This diversity visa, in my opinion, was a complete setup, just because from the very beginning, if we were not eligible, they wouldn't have let us continue on the steps. We did every single step. We signed every paper, sent in everything. Everything came back accepted, perfect, from the first step to the last step.
We'll hear more about this experience and much more from Michael and his family on Monday's program. But how do deportation proceedings begin now under the Trump administration? And what kinds of tactics are ICE agents using to seek out and pick up non-citizens? Leon Fresco is an immigration attorney and former Deputy Assistant Attorney General at the Justice Department. He was head of the Office of Immigration Litigation under the Obama administration. Leon, welcome back.
Thank you.
Leon, are we seeing new methods in arresting or detaining undocumented immigrants now? What kind of tactics are we seeing?
What we're really seeing is a return of tactics that had been used in 2007 and 2008 under the Bush administration, as ICE feels more and more frustrated that they can't go into local jails and pick people up. They are trying to figure out ways to get people to voluntarily turn themselves in, albeit through subterfuge, rather than having to do the kinds of operations that require them to bang on doors and cause mayhem and havoc in an apartment building. But it's also difficult from the standpoint of making affirmative misrepresentations to get people to voluntarily put themselves into ICE custody. So it's really a no-win situation there.
So the Pukri family thought they were going in for a green card. We've heard from others on this program who thought they were going in for regular immigration check-ins with authorities, only to walk in the office and be arrested. These are the types of tactics you're talking about.
Yes, Todd. The situation with the check-ins is one where under the Obama administration, the purpose for those check-ins was in order to keep tabs on people that had been given grants of prosecutorial discretion, meaning that ICE said, we know we can remove you, but we're not going to remove you because you have such compelling ties to the United States. Under this administration, it's saying, well, very few people are going to be entitled to that prosecutorial discretion. So most people that come in are actually going to be apprehended and returned into the removal process. The problem is it's really a no-win situation either way. If you don't go to the check-in, then your removal case is foreclosed, basically. At that point, you've given up any rights that you have. But having said that, if you do show up, you're now subject to this detention and potential removal. So you're really in this no-win situation.
And you mentioned before we go, Leon, that ICE agents have more difficulty in some places simply going to the jails to pick people up. This would evoke the controversy of sanctuary cities or sanctuary states where local law enforcement isn't cooperating. And so now maybe ICE turns around and says, we resort to these tactics because we can't do it the old easy way.
Correct. That's the preference of ICE, is to not have to do any sort of affirmative work into get people into detention. They would rather much sit there in the local jails and basically collect people as they're being released. To the extent that jurisdictions don't cooperate with that view of the world, first of all, you know, people have good reasons not to, but putting that aside, to the extent that that doesn't happen, ICE then says, well, what do you want us to do? That same person that we could have taken voluntarily at the jail, we now have to find them somewhere. And so this is what creates these other can't-win scenarios where you have to either now start barging doors and creating havoc or using this subterfuge. And so this is a set of can't-win choices all throughout. And, you know, these are the problems when you start engaging in significant immigration enforcement, and you have to determine whether the populations you're engaging in are populations that it makes sense to be engaging in this kind of enforcement against, or whether you're doing it against really sympathetic people.
Leon Fresco, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General at the Department of Justice. Leon, as always, thank you.
Thank you.